And purport by His Divine Grace Om Vishnu Paraparamahansa Paribra Jagacharya Ashtotara Shatashi Simanesi Bhakti Vidanta Swami Shri Prabhupada. Shonakarishi inquired, why did Parikshit Maharaj simply punish him? Since he was the lowest of sudras, having dressed as a king and having struck a cow with its leg. Please describe all these incidents if they relate to the topics of Lord Krishna. Purport. Shonaka and the rishis were astonished to hear that the pious Maharaj Parikshit simply punished the culprit and did not kill him. This suggests that a pious king like Maharaj Parikshit should have at once killed an offender who wanted to cheat the public by dressing like a king and at the same time daring to insult the purest of the animals, a cow. The rishis in those days, however, could not even imagine that in the advanced days of the age of Kali, the lowest of sudras will be elected as administrators and will open organized slaughterhouses for killing cows. Anyway, although hearing about the sudraka who was a cheat and an insulter of a cow was not very interesting to the great rishis, they nevertheless wanted to hear about it to see if the event had any connection with Lord Krishna. They were simply interested with the topics of Lord Krishna. For anything that is dovetailed with the narration of Krishna is worth hearing. There are many topics in the Bhagavatam about sociology, politics, economics, cultural affairs, etc. But all of them are in relation with Krishna, and therefore all of them are worth hearing. Krishna is the purifying ingredient in all matters, regardless of what they are. In the mundane world, everything is impure due to its being a product of the three mundane qualities. The purifying agent, however, is Krishna. Om Agyan Tiranda Shachinam Janan Shalakriyata Kshuram Minatam Jina Tashmai Sri Gavinam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari. So here, Srila Prabhupada is pointing out that anything in relation to Krishna is worth hearing. Prabhupada said the devotees of Krishna never reject any activity or pastime connected with Krishna. They're all relishable for the devotees. So here he's saying that these rishis, and so they have no business in asking about why a sudra was beating a cow, but because they knew it was related to Krishna, they asked him to tell the stories. And wherever there is Krishna, then everything becomes purified. Prabhupada says the purifying agent is Krishna. So therefore everything is dovetailed in Krishna's service, and then everything becomes purified. In other words, the whole material world is nothing but Krishna's energies. The only impurity is that we forget Krishna, and we forget the energies related to Krishna, and we try to use it for ourselves. That is impurity. But if we relate everything to Krishna in all our activities and dovetail everything in Krishna's service, then everything regains its original spiritual status. And the living entity also regains his spiritual status because he is the eternal servant of Krishna. So then everything becomes purified, even though in the material world. So everything in relation to Krishna is very purifying. So the Rath Yatra ceremony is very, very purifying because it's directly related to Krishna. In fact, it's directly related to Krishna and Krishna's devotee, or the topmost devotee, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has come to show us how to become devotee. So in the role of the greatest devotee, then he's exhibiting his pastimes with Lord Jagannath at this Rath Yatra festival. And therefore, it's worth hearing about. It's worth attending. The prasad is worth eating. Everything is in relation to Jagannath. Then it becomes very relishable. So this is Krishna's mercy, that he comes down in a form we can relate to. Otherwise he's very subtle. Krishna cannot be understood by material senses. He can only be understood by purified senses. So we don't have purified senses, therefore it's very difficult to understand what is Krishna. Therefore Krishna comes in a form like Lord Jagannath that you can perceive with material senses. That is his kindness. Therefore he's called Daru Brahman. Daru means wood. But of course Krishna is not wood, he's Brahman, a wooden Brahman. How can something material wooden be Brahman? It cannot be. So therefore the conclusion, no, he's appearing, he's Brahman, but he's actually appearing like wood. Simply that we can see. Prabhupada said, this is Krishna's kindness. He said, here in the temple you have Radha Madhava. He said, they're appearing as metal, made of metal. The small deities were there at that time. He said, but it's not metal, it is Krishna. He said, but because you cannot see Krishna, then Krishna has manifested himself in a form you can see. You can only see wood, stone, metal. But you can't see Krishna. Therefore, Krishna, he had manifested in a form of wood, stone, metal. Then you can see. So Jagannath manifests himself in a wooden form. So that is his kindness. He comes right down to the most grossest element, earth. It's just matter. Wood is just earth. So there's so many elements from fine to gross. So Krishna is so kind, he even comes down to the most grossest element that we can appreciate. Prabhupada said, the deity is Krishna. He's so kind to come like that as a deity. Everybody can really, practically they can see, they can serve. In the holy name, he comes down as far as sound. He manifests into sound, the sound of vibration. Therefore we should be very thankful of the holy name and not try to bring the sound even further down. Krishna so kindly manifested himself from spirit to the intelligence, mind, etc. down to the mind, through the mind down to sound, which is like the first material element, gross material, you know, in the creation. He's so kind to bring himself down to sound that we can actually perceive. This is some, but still, there's often a mistake. We try to bring Krishna further down. You know, we want to see Krishna. But it's actually not proper because Krishna is so kind to manifest himself in sound. We should accept that and appreciate Krishna in that form. I'm not trying to make him come down even more elements so we can see him with our material eyes. If we do that, we end up, that means we're asking Krishna to become our servant. When we have that attitude, we want to bring Krishna further down. We're asking Krishna to become our servant. But he's so kindly come in the form of sound vibration. So here we have all three at the Rath Yatra. We have the Daru Brahman, they can see. They have the sound vibration because they're all chanting Hare Krishna. And personally, you have Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself. So he's showing. And you have all the great devotees there. They're greater than Krishna, actually. They're greater than the deity, the devotees, because they also speak. They can give you a sound vibration. The deity generally doesn't speak. So he's just there visually and you can serve him. But actually the guru, he will speak. He'll give you direction. Otherwise you can't understand. Anybody read Bhagavad Gita before they were the devotee? You couldn't understand. It takes you a long time to understand them. Just a little, even one sentence. It's just as it is, but you can't understand. Until you meet a devotee, you really can't understand Bhagavad Gita. It's so difficult to understand one sloka of Bhagavad Gita. Many of you have probably experienced that. You read before, but it just didn't register. But as soon as you meet a devotee and he explains it, it's exactly the same words, and then suddenly it all has meaning. So therefore the devotees are more kind than Krishna in that aspect, than the deity in that aspect. So it has a very long history. The Rath Yatra, it starts from the time of King Indrajum in the Shatrujuga actually. Of course these pastimes are eternal. Eternally going on. And Krishna comes in this form of Jagannath, and he's a predominating deity of the universe until the end of the universe now. For the first half of the universal time was Nilmadhava was the predominating deity. Then that whole King Indrajumna Leela. Then Jagannath manifests, and he said from that time on, Jagannath becomes the Lord of the universe. He becomes a predominating deity for the rest of the life of Brahma. And therefore Jagannath, he sets all the standards of deity worship. Wherever you see deity worship, practically in any sampradaya, you'll see it's all coming from Jagannath's system of worship. And these festivals like Chandan Yatra, Julan Yatra, they're all established years and years. But everybody follows these festivals, and you know that actually the so-called Pachar process of worship, it all starts from Jagannath. So he sets the standard of deity worship. That's why it's maintained so nicely for so many generations. The worship of Lord Chaitanya, although it's decreasing, because here we see that, you know, they were using silken ropes during 500 years ago. But yesterday somebody bought some ropes, it was coconut fiber. They don't use silk anymore, it's coconut. And also the Handi Vijay, they would carry Jagannath on big pillars. It describes how the pillars would break when they put Jagannath. And explode and all the cotton would fly in the air. But they don't use that even nowadays. So many things they're reducing. But anyway, still they're maintaining tradition. It may not be as grand as it was 500 years ago. And who knows how grand it was during King Indrajumna's time. Anyway, with the event of Lord Chaitanya's appearance, during his era, golden era, it'll certainly increase again in due course of time. So this, actually the original Rath was made from during the time of Britashura. And the battle of Indra and Britashura, Indra had to kill Britashura. So he got that weapon made from the bones of Dadichi. It's a very powerful bone. So they made the weapons to kill Britashura. So part of those bones also were used for making Jagannath's Rath, that this was the original Rath. Also other weapons were made. Lord Shiva's bow was made, the one that Ramchandra broke. That was also made of the Dadichi's bones. Arjuna also got a weapon from there. And so King Indrajumna had that bought for the first Ratiyatra. So that was the original rat was that. Now they make every new one every year from Sal. Sal is teak, is it teak wood? They make the new rat every year. Very tall, like Mount Sumeru. And there's all different types of personalities installed in the rat. There's all different devatas on different positions of the rat. And they invoke all the devas to come. And they have drivers, they have horses. The horses have names. Krishna's horses and Balaram's horses. Even the chariot has name. Krishna's chariot, Jagannath's chariot is called Nandigosh. Nandigosh. Or Garuda Dwaja, because he has a flag of Garuda. And Subhadra's is called she has two names. One is Padma Dwaj, because she has a lotus on the flag, and the other one is Deva Dalalna. Dalalana? Huh?
Deva Dalana.
Dalana, yeah, Deva Dalana. And Baladev is called Taladwaj, because he has the tall trees on the flag. He killed the Dhanakasura in the Talavan forest. Victorious, flag of victory. So, Lord Chaitanya will take advantage of this festival to manifest the Sankirtan pastime, taking all of his devotees with him. And here in this descriptions I give you, he would divide all the singers, all of his intimate associates. Actually, they're all eternal associates of the Lord there, all the Nitya Siddhas. And he would make seven parties. And two mridanga players in each party. Some parties he would have a lead singer. Vasudev Ghosh is a famous singer. Shroop Damodar, Shivash Pandit. They would be lead singers. He would appoint a lead singer for every group. And there would be a dancer there, lead dancer, like Haridas Thakur or Rakeshwar Pandit. Disappearance, he was a great dancer. Haridas Thakur, Advaita. And so like this, Lord would organize all these different parties, and they would do kirtan, have kirtan parties all around the rat. And Lord Chaitanya was performing miracles by expanding himself into each party when they were performing all the sankirtan. Only a few devotees could understand what was going on. They could actually see him. But he would expand out, and enjoy this dancing and chanting for Lord Jagannath. So we can read some of this from the Magic Leela, chapter 13. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed pastimes for some time in this way. He personally sang, and he induced his personal associates to dance. According to his need, the Lord sometimes exhibited one form, and sometimes many. This was being executed by his internal potency. Indeed, the personality of Godhead forgot himself in the course of his transcendental pastimes. But his internal potency, the Leela Shakti, knowing the intentions of the Lord, made all arrangements. So Krishna has unlimited potencies, Parashraya Shakti, Vipadeva, that they carry out his will automatically. So here, he wanted to perform the Sankirtan. He's in the mood of Radha. He wants to taste the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani, her relationship with Krishna. This is his desire. But when he's tasting it, you come mad. So therefore, he forgets himself. He forgets his purpose. He's so absorbed in absorbed in just tasting his relationship. He forgets everything else. And so therefore his Leela Shakti comes and assists him. They make arrangements so he just doesn't lose everything. They make the whole pastime go, because he can't relate anymore, you know, what he's supposed to be doing. He's just become like madman in his ecstasy in front of Krishna. So then his potencies take over and they start moving everything around. So he doesn't have to worry and he's just absorbed as he is in his own pastimes. Just as Lord Sri Krishna formerly performed the Rasalila dance and other pastimes at Vrindavan, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed uncommon pastimes moment after moment. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing before the Rathyatra car could be perceived only by pure devotees. Others could not understand. Descriptions of the Lord Krishna's uncommon dancing can be found in the revealed scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in great jubilation and inundated all the people with waves of ecstatic love. Thus Lord Jagannath mounted his car and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inspired all his devotees to dance in front of it. Now please hear about Lord Jagannath going from Gundicha temple to the Gundicha temple while Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced before the Rath car. The Lord performed kirtan for some time. Through his own endeavor, he inspired all the devotees to dance. When the Lord himself wanted to dance, all the seven groups combined together. The Lord's devotees include Srivash, Ramai, Raghu, Govinda, Mukunda, Haridas, Govinda Nandana, Madhava and Govinda, all combined together. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to jump high while dancing, he placed these nine people in the charge of Srup Damodar. These devotees, Srup Damodar and the devotees in his charge, sang along with the Lord, and they also ran along beside him. All the other groups of men also sang. So here Lord Chaitanya is dancing. It's his very uncommon dance. He would hear is he was running. Everyone would run along with him. He wanted to jump very high. So everything can go on in dancing. Even there's one verse, maybe by Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur, glorifying Lord Chaitanya's dancing. And it says he dances in very uncommon ways. Not exactly what you would expect. It would all be very different. It would be very unusual, his dancing, but whatever it was completely captivating all the devotees. So there's no hard and fast rule for chanting, there's also no hard and fast rule for dancing. Offering obeisances to the Lord with folded hands, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu raised his face towards the Lord Jagannath and prayed as follows. Namo Brahmanaya Devaya Go Brahmanaya Cha Jagadhitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Let me offer my respectful obeisance unto Lord Krishna, who is a worshipful deity for all Brahmanical men, who is a well-wisher of cows and Brahmanas, and is always befitting the whole world, benefiting the whole world. I offer my repeated obeisances to the personality of Godhead, known as Krishna Govinda. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as the Son of Devaki. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as the Light of the Dynasty of Vrishni. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose bodily luster is like that of a new cloud, and whose body is as soft as a lotus flower. All glories unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared on this planet to deliver the world from the burden of the demons, and who can offer liberation to everyone. Lord Krishna is he who is known as Jananibhas, the ultimate resort of all living entities, and is also known as Devaki Nandana or Jasoda Nandana, the son of Devaki and Jasoda. He is the guide of the Jadu dynasty, and with his mighty arms he kills everything inauspicious, as well as every man who is impious. By his presence he destroys all things inauspicious for living entities, moving and inert. His blissful smiling face always increases the lusty desire of the gopis of Vrindavan. May he be all glorious and happy. I am not a Brahmana, I am not a Kshatriya, not a Vaishya, not a Sudra, nor am I a Brahmacharya, a householder, a Vanaprastha, or a Sannyas. I identify myself only as the servant of the servant of the servant of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. He is like an ocean of nectar, and he is the cause of universal transcendental bliss. He is always existing with brilliance. So here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is our leader. He is giving us our identity here. Gopi Padyo Kamala Das, 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 Das. The servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, who maintains the gopis in Vrindavan. So Krishna came to, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give this relationship with Krishna as the inhabitants of Vrindavan have. Especially in Madhujaras, Vatsalaras and Shakaras. Specifically these three relationships Lord Chaitanya came to give, because these are the most pleasing relationships that Krishna likes. So therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Mahavadanaya. He's come to give you the greatest thing that pleases Krishna. And therefore as followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so many things are revealed in the Rath Yatra. Here he's revealing our identity as followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We should identify ourselves as servant of the servant of the servant. Come in the line of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After having recited all these verses from scripture, the Lord again offered his obeisances, and all the devotees with folded hands also offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu jumped and danced high, roaring like thunder and moving like a circle, like in a wheel, he appeared like a circling firebrand. Whenever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stepped, wherever he stepped while dancing, the whole earth with its hills and seas appeared to tilt. When Lord Chaitanya danced, he displayed various blissful transcendental changes in his body. Sometimes he appeared stunned, and sometimes the hairs on his body stood on end. Sometimes he perspired, cried, trembled and changed color, and sometimes he exhibited symptoms of helplessness, pride, exuberance and humility. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell down with a crash while dancing, he would roll on the ground. At such times it appears that a golden mountain was rolling on the ground. Nityananda Prabhu would stretch out his two hands to try and catch the Lord when he was running here and there. And Advaita Acharya would walk behind the Lord and loudly chant, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Everyone was astonished by the chant dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even Lord Jagannath became extremely happy to see him. The car came to its complete standstill and remained immobile while Lord Jagannath, with unblinking eyes, watched the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The goddess of fortune, Subhadra, and Lord Balaram both felt great happiness and ecstasy within their hearts. Indeed, they were seen smiling at the dancing. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and jumped high, eight wonderful transformations indicative of divine ecstasy were seen in his body. All these symptoms were visible simultaneously. His skin erupted with goose pimples and the hairs of his body stood on end. He resembled a simili tree, which is all covered with thorns. Indeed, all the people became afraid just to see his teeth chatter, and they even thought that his teeth would fall out. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's whole body flowed with perspiration and at the same time oozed blood. He made the sounds jaga, gaga, jaga, gaga in a voice choked with ecstasy. Tears came forcibly from his eyes as if from a syringe, and all the people surrounding him became wet. Everybody saw the complexion of his body change from white to pink, so that his luster resembled that of a mallika flower. Sometimes he appeared stunned, and sometimes he rolled on the ground. Indeed, sometimes his legs and hands became as hard as dry wood, and he did not move. When the Lord fell to the ground, sometimes his breathing almost stopped. When the devotees saw this, their lives became very feeble. Water flowed from his eyes and through his nostrils, and foam fell from his mouth. These flowings appeared to be torrents of nectar descending from the moon. The foam that fell from the mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taken and drunk by Shubhananda because he was very fortunate and expert in relishing the mellow of ecstatic love of Krishna. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had performed his devastating dance for some time, his mind entered into the mood of ecstatic love. After abandoning the dancing, the Lord ordered Srupa Damodar to sing. Understanding his mind, Srupa Damodar began to sing as follows. Now I have gained the Lord of my life, in the absence of whom I was being burned by Cupid and was withering away. When this refrain was loudly sung by Srupa Damodar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again began rhythmically dancing in transcendental bliss. The car of Lord Jagannath began to move slowly, while the son of Mother Sachi went ahead and danced in front. While dancing and singing, all the devotees in front of Lord Jagannath kept their eyes on him. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to the end of the procession with the Sankirtan performance. His eyes and mind fully absorbed in Lord Jagannath, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to play the drama of the song with his two arms. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dramatically enacting the song, he would sometimes fall behind in a procession. At such times, Lord Jagannath would come to a standstill. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again went forward, Lord Jagannath's car would start slowly moving again. Thus there was a sort of competition between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannath in seeing who could lead. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so strong that he made Lord Jagannath wait in his car. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing, his ecstasy changed. Raising his two arms, he began to recite the following verse in a loud voice. That personality who stole away my heart during my youth is now again my master. These are the same moonlight nights of the month of Chaitra. The same fragrance of malati flowers is there, and the same sweet breezes are blowing from the Kadamba forest. In our intimate relationship, I am also the same lover. Yet, still my mind is not happy here. I am eager to go back to the place on the bank of the river, under the Vetasi tree. That is my desire. This verse was recited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again and again. But for Srupa Damodar, no one could understand its meaning. I have already explained this verse. Now I shall simply describe it in brief. Formerly, all the gopis of Vrindavan were very pleased when they met with Krishna at the holy place of Kurukshetra. Similarly, after seeing Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu awoke in the ecstasy of the gopis. Being absorbed in this ecstasy, he asked Srupa Damodar to sing the refrain. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus spoke to Lord Jagannath. You are the same Krishna, and I am the same Radharani. We are meeting again in the same way that we met in the beginning of our lives. Although we are both the same, my mind is still attracted to Vrindavan Dham. I wish that you will please again appear with your lotus feet in Vrindavan. In Kurukshetra there are crowds of people, elephants and horses, and also the rattling of chariots. But in Vrindavan there are flower gardens, and the humming of the bees and chirping birds can be heard. Here at Kurukshetra, you are dressed like a royal prince, accompanied by great warriors. But in Vrindavan, you appeared just like an ordinary cowherd boy, accompanied only by your beautiful flutes. Here, there is not even a drop of the ocean of transcendental happiness that I enjoy with you in Vrindavan. Therefore, I request you to come to Vrindavan and enjoy pastimes with me. If you do so, my ambition we will fulfill. So here is the meaning that Lord Chaitanya has shown behind this Rath Yatra festival. They want to pull Krishna to Vrindavan, from Kurukshetra to Vrindavan. At that time Krishna was living in Dwaraka. So they went to Kurukshetra for the observed solar eclipse, so all the inhabitants of Vrindavan took the advantage of going there to see Krishna. And the mood was that now you're a big prince, but we want to see you in Vrindavan, we want to take you back to Vrindavan. So this is the mood that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has revealed to us, of dragging the cart from Jagannath Temple to Gundicha, which represents Vrindavan. So this is the kindness of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, otherwise we would not have known what this meaning was, the devotees of Krishna. So he's so kindly shown that. And here we see equally, because Mayapur and Vrindavan are non-different. Radha and Krishna have appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are non-different. So here also this mood was exhibited. Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions this in the Nabadeep Bhagavataranga. When Lord Chaitanya was going to Vrindavan, he was tricked and he was made to come back. And he arrived at Vachaspati's house at Koladweep. This was after when he had taken sannyas. And so he came back. He couldn't come to Mayapur because he was a sannyas, his family member, so he actually came to the Koladweep, on the outskirts of Maladweep. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is pointing out that he's seeing, or he's praying, that when will I see that golden effulgent Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He came to the top of the house of Vachaspati. Because he went to his house and he went on the roof and gave everyone a darshan in Navadip, and the whole of Navadip run towards. They heard Lord Chaitanya, the whole of Navadip just. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is recalling this. He's having this vision, it appears. So he's saying, when will the Lord of the Sannyas appear on that rooftop of that splendid house? He said, here is that wonderful Lord. Golden effulgence here, but here he has a shaved head. His son Yazavesh, he's dressed as a sannyasi. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, here is my worshipful Lord. He is the same as my worshipful, but still, my heart longs to take him back from this situation from his sannyas vesh, back to the house of Srivash Thakur, where we used to perform the Sankirtan, nocturnal Sankirtan. I want that Lord to come back with his beautiful long flowing locks of curling hair and his yellow dhoti folded, tucked in three times in three places, performing this Sankirtan with all of his devotees, all of his young friends around him, performing this wonderful Sankirtan. He's the same Lord, but still my heart longs to bring him back to the Jogpit, house of Srivash Thakur. So the house of Srivash Thakur, and that pastime that Lord Chaitanya started there, the Sankirtan movement started there, when they were performing his nocturnal Sankirtan, that is equal to the Ras Leela of Vrindavan. So like the gopis, they are praying to Krishna here at Kurukshetra, you're the same Krishna. We understand that, but our hearts long to take you back. We want to see you with your peacock feather and your gunjamala and playing your flute. We don't like to see you dressed like a king. But you are our same Lord, but our heart just longs to take you back. So this simultaneous exhibit here in the Navadvipa, Bhakti Lord Thakur was revealing that. So, this is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and his participation in the Rath Yatra festival, he's revealed the deep, loving, sentimental, devotional mood of the best of the devotees, because he's Radharani in that mood. He's just revealing the mood of the most exalted devotee. So that's simply his mercy. Therefore he's called Mahapatanaya. Because he came to give what no one else can give. So he comes as the topmost devotee and actually reveals Radharani's sentiment. And that was never revealed before. And therefore he's Mahapatanaya. And this is very nicely summarized in the Shikshastakam. The whole mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this mood of Radharani. In a nutshell, he has summarized this. So if it wasn't for his pastimes here with Rath Yatra, etc., then we would never understand these things. In that, it's this ecstatic mood, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited many other verses, but people in general could not understand their meaning. The meaning of these verses was well known to Sri Damodar, but he did not reveal it. However, Rupa Goswami has broadcast its meaning. That was the time when Lord Rupa Goswami heard that read that verse, which to many people sounded like a mundane love song, you know, when will I meet my lover again? I long to take you by the river and the moonlight. There was no mention of Krishna, so it seemed like a mundane poetry thing. A lot of devotees couldn't understand when Lord Chaitanya was saying this, but then Rupa Goswami actually wrote the esoterical meaning down there. He wanted to bring Radha Krishna back to the bank of the Jamuna. He wrote it down and put it on the palm leaf and put it in his heart. And Lord Chaitanya was happened to be there, and somehow he just, by fate, he found that and read it, and he was telling all the devotees, Sri Chaitanya, how is it? Rupa Goswami understood my mind. How is it possible? How can he do that? How can he understand my mind? He's perfectly understood and he's revealed it. How is it possible? It's not possible. Sri Damodar said, it's not possible. It's only possible if you have bestowed your mercy upon me. Therefore I can understand you have given full mercy to Sri Damodar. To Rupa Goswami. Otherwise it's not possible for anyone to understand. So Rupa Goswami kind of revealed all that also to us. At least we can see what the end of the line. Something to aspire to. While dancing, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to recite the following verse, which he tasted in association with Sri Damodar. Dear Lord, whose navel is just like a lotus flower, your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen into the deep well of material existence. Your feet are worshipped and meditated on by great mystic yogis and highly learned philosophers. We wish that these lotus feet may also be awakened within our hearts, although we are only ordinary persons engaged in household affairs. Speaking in the mood of Srimati Radharani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, for most people the mind and heart are one, but because my mind is never separated from Vrindavan, I consider my mind and Vrindavan to be one. My mind is already Vrindavan, and since you like Vrindavan, will you please place your lotus feet there? I would deem that your full mercy. My dear Lord, kindly hear my true submission. My home is Vrindavan, and I wish your association there. But if I do not get it, then it will be very difficult for me to keep my life. My dear Krishna, formerly, when you were staying in Mathura, you sent Uddhava to teach me speculative knowledge and the mystic yoga. And now you yourself are speaking the same thing. But my mind does not accept it. There is no place in my mind for Gyan-yoga or Dhyan-yoga. Although you know me very well, you are still instructing me in Gyan-yoga and Dhyan-yoga. It is not right for you to do so. This is when Uddhava went with the message to console the gopis. And he was saying, now you should just absorb your minds in thinking of Krishna. And in the letter, Krishna personally, he was instructing that, dear gopis, it's no need for you to feel any separation from me. He said, because actually separation is impossible for us, from us, at any time, under any circumstance, because I'm all pervading. I'm everywhere. So there's actually no question of separation. So he's teaching the system of yoga. Now the Gyanis, they want to come to this position of realizing the all-pervasive nature of the Lord. So here Radharani is criticizing, why are you treating us like ordinary yogis? We're not Gyani yogis, we're not Gyan yogis that we should meditate on you or always think about. From the very beginning of our lives we loved you, Krishna. We do nothing. There's nothing else in our minds and hearts but you. Why are you giving these instructions to us to become yogis? This is not good for you, not befitting for you. We're accustomed to loving you. We don't need to be taught any kind of yoga. Why are you also speaking like this? So they're chastising Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, I would like to withdraw my consciousness from you and engage it in material activities. But even though I try, I cannot do so. I am naturally inclined to you only. Your instructions for me to meditate on you are therefore simply ludicrous. In this way you are killing me. It is not very good for you to think of me as a candidate for your instructions. The gopis are not like the mystic yogis. They will never be satisfied simply by meditating on your lotus feet and imitating the so-called yogis. Teaching the gopis about meditation is another kind of duplicity. When they are all instructed to undergo mystic yogic practice, they are not at all satisfied. On the contrary, they become more and more angry with you. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, the gopis are falling into a great ocean of separation, are being devoured by the timingala fish of their ambition to serve you. The gopis are to be delivered from the mouths of these timingala fish, for they are pure devotees. Since they have no material conception of life, why should they aspire for liberation? The gopis do not want that liberation desired by the gyanis and yogis, for they are already liberated from the ocean of material existence. It is amazing that you have forgotten the land of Vrindavan, and how is it that you have forgotten your father and mother and friends? How have you forgotten Govardhan Hill, the bank of the Jamuna and the forest, where you enjoy the Ras Leela? Krishna, you are certainly a refined gentleman with all good qualities. You are well behaved, soft-hearted and merciful. I know that there is not even a tinge of fault to be found in you. Yet, your mind does not even remember the inhabitants of Vrindavan. This is my misfortune and nothing else. I do not care for my personal unhappiness, but when I see the morose face of Mother Jasoda and the hearts of all the inhabitants of Vrindavan breaking because of you, I wonder whether you want to kill them all. Or do you want to enliven them by coming here? Why are you simply keeping them alive in a state of suffering? The inhabitants of Vrindavan do not want you dressed like a prince, nor do they want to associate with great warriors in a different country. They cannot leave the land of Vrindavan, and without your presence, they are all dying. What is their condition to be? My dear Krishna, you are the life and soul of Vrindavan Dham. You are especially the life of Nanda Maharaj. You are the only opulence in the land of Vrindavan, and you are very merciful. Please come and let all the residents of Vrindavan live. Kindly keep your lotus feet again in Vrindavan. purport. Srimati Radharani did not express her personal unhappiness at being separated from Krishna. She wanted to invoke Krishna's feelings for the conditions of the others, for the condition of all the others in Vrindavan Dham, Mother Jasoda, Maharaj Nanda, the cowherds, the gopis, the birds and the trees on the bank of the Jamuna, the water of the Jamuna, the trees and the forest, and all the other paraphernalia associated with Krishna before he left Vrindavan for Mathura. These feelings of Srimati Radharani were manifested by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and therefore he invited Lord Jagannath, Krishna, to return to Vrindavan. That is the purport of the Rath Yatra car going from Jagannath Puri to Gundicha temple. So this is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has revealed all this in his Jagannath Leela. After hearing Srimati Radharani's statements, Lord Krishna's love for the inhabitants of Vrindavan was evoked, and his body and mind became very much perturbed. After hearing of their love for him, he immediately thought himself to be always indebted to the residents in Vrindavan. Krishna then began to pacify Srimati Radharani as follows. My dearest Srimati Radharani, please hear me. I am speaking the truth. I cry day and night simply upon remembering all of you inhabitants of Vrindavan. No one knows how unhappy this makes me. All the inhabitants of Vrindavan Dham, my mother, father, the cowherd boyfriends, and everything else, are like my life and soul. And among all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopis are my very life and soul. And among the gopis, you, Srimati Radharani, are the chief. Therefore, you are the very life of my life. My dear Srimati Radharani, I am always subservient to the loving affairs of all of you. I am under your control only. My separation from you and residence in a distant place have occurred due to my strong misfortune. When a woman is separated from the man she loves, or the man is separated from his beloved woman, neither of them can live. It is a fact that they live only for each other. For if one of them dies and the other hears of it, he or she will also die. Such a loving chaste wife and loving husband desire all welfare for each other in separation, and do not care for personal happiness, desiring only each other's well-being. Such a pair certainly meet again without delay. You are my most dear, and I know that in my absence you cannot live for a moment. Just to keep you living, I worship Lord Narayan. By his merciful potency, I come to Vrindavan every day to enjoy pastimes with you. I then return to Dwarka Dham. Thus you can always feel my presence there in Vrindavan. Our love affair is more powerful because of my good fortune in receiving Narayan's grace. This allows me to come there unseen by others. I hope that very soon I will be visible to everyone. I have already killed all the mischievous demons who are enemies of the Jadu dynasty, and I have also killed Kamsa and his allies, but there are two or four more demons still living. I want to kill them, and after doing this I shall very soon return to Vrindavan. Please know this for certain. I wish to protect the inhabitants of Vrindavan from the attacks of my enemies. That is why I remain in my kingdom. Otherwise, I am indifferent to my royal position. Whatever wives, sons, and wealth I maintain in the kingdom are only for the satisfaction of the Jadus. Your loving qualities will always attract me to Vrindavan. Indeed, they will bring me back within 10 or 20 days. And when I return, I shall enjoy both day and night with you and all the damsels of Rajabhumi. While speaking to Srimati Radharani, Krishna became very anxious to return to Vrindavan. And he made her listen to a verse which banished all her difficulties Amma Yashoda, she would again attain Krishna. Lord Krishna said, devotional service unto me is the only way to attain me. My dear gopis, whatever love and affection you have attained for me by good fortune is the only reason for my returning to you. So here is a very important point here when Krishna says that I wish to protect the inhabitants of Vrindavan from the attacks of my enemies. That is why I remain in my kingdom. Otherwise I am indifferent to my royal position. Whatever wives and sons and wealth I maintain in the kingdom are only for the satisfaction of the Jadus. So here Krishna is saying that the only reason he is there in Dwapara is for the satisfaction of the Jadus. This is actually not for Krishna's satisfaction. Krishna is satisfied wherever he goes, he's enjoying wherever situation, but Krishna's actual happiness and satisfaction is in Vrindavan. He's completely satisfied. That's why he never leaves, he never takes one footstep outside. But here it says he goes to Mathura, he leaves, but the reason here is explained here. Why Krishna leaves Vrindavan, although he never takes one footstep out? It's simply to satisfy his devotees who want to serve him in a different mood. It's an important point in our philosophy because it brings out the real Krishna of Vrindavan. So Krishna is served by the inhabitants of Vrindavan and he's so satisfied that he never leaves. So this is Krishna, this is Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And those who serve, want to please Krishna, this is how to please him. The objective of devotion is to satisfy Krishna. So a devotee, he wants to bring maximum pleasure to Krishna, isn't it? Wouldn't we like to bring what pleases Krishna most? That would actually what we would want to do. And what pleases Krishna most is his pastimes in Vrindavan, relationships in Vrindavan. So therefore we would like to serve him there. And the very last thing a devotee would do would want to take Krishna outside of Vrindavan. But Krishna is leaving because some devotees want to serve him as a king, as the Lord of Vaikuntha. So here you can see a distinction between the different devotees. They actually want to take Krishna away from Vrindavan. Whereas a person who really wants Krishna's interest, his greatest happiness, he will want to keep Krishna in Vrindavan and serve him. So although there's no difference between Krishna and Vasudeva when he leaves, they're the same person, but we see this sentiment in relationship to devotees are there. And in the satisfaction of Krishna. It's clearly stated here, other places also, but it's a very important point that Lord Chaitanya is revealing. That the only reason I'm here with the Jadudai is to bring satisfaction to the Jadudai. Otherwise, he said, I'm not interested. My heart is with you. He's revealing it very clearly. So it's an important point in our philosophy. It's separating the real Krishna. There's unlimited forms of Godhead, but here we can see the real Krishna. And the real devotees of Krishna. They just want to keep him and serve him in Vrindavan. And Krishna also is, again, it's been revealed here. What will attract Krishna? How we can be attracted? What will it actually attract Krishna? Ultimately, we want this. This is the. And Krishna says, he's revealing here, your loving qualities always attract me to Vrindavan. Indeed, they will bring me back within 10 or 20 days. That's all. Krishna is only attracted by these loving qualities of his devotees. Then he says, devotional service unto me is the only way to attain me. My dear gopis, whatever love and affection you have attained from me by good fortune is the only reason for my returning to Vrindavan. That's the only reason. Because of whatever love and affection they have attained for Krishna. So it's only love and affection that attracts Krishna. So here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is revealing all this. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked upon the beautiful lotus-like face and eyes of Lord Jagannath. Lord Jagannath was garlanded and dressed with nice garments and adorned with beautiful ornaments, and his face was glittering from the rays of the sunshine. Jagannath Swami ki. Jagannath Ratyatra Mahotsav ki. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Sri Prabhupada ki. Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki. Nitai Gopremanandi. Jagannath Swami Mahaprasad ki. Jai.